I don't even know that I'm saying the wrong thing sometimes. It's not just that, I just grab hold the wrong names off. You found it where?
I found it on the floor here.
Here?
Yeah.
Okay. Settle down, please. We're getting in a bad habit. We're getting in a little too late. Regardless of how nice the sunshine is outside, let's try to be in class on time so that we will not lose time. The habit can just keep getting worse. Did anybody in here lose a small key like this? I'll have to ask in one of the other classes and then leave it with somebody. It was found in here, so it may be in another class. Probably better leave it right here. It was found in here. Passing that roll book between here and there makes me think of one time I helped build a warehouse. I reached out over the Snake River, and the Snake River is running real swift, and it was high that time of year anyway, real swift water. We were building this warehouse to reach out over the river. We had the studdings up, and another fellow and I were working, and he'd have, sometimes I'd be working with a wrench with some bolts or something, and he'd be working with a hammer to nailing and so on, and we'd, one or the other would need a hammer or so on. He'd be over there and I'd be over here, the swift water down here underneath. I need the hammer. He'd toss it over and pick it right out of the air, just like that. Now, if we dropped it, there wouldn't be any hammer. But we were pretty good. We didn't just reach out like this. We watched that hammer coming and watched how it was turning. And when it got there, we just took it like that. I'll admit it was kind of foolish, but we never lost a hammer. And it was miles to town. And we had no car. We went horseback. I'd ride horseback from there, clear into Lewiston sometime, about 15 miles, I guess. And then I'd tie my horse down by the river, go up and see my sweetie, and stay over till Sunday evening, and then I'd get on that horse and take off back up there, and late at night on Sunday night, so I'd be back up there in the morning, go up over a ridge, and that I'd ride that horse back asleep part of the time. He knew the way, so I just let him have it. Up over the ridge, we couldn't go up the river at that time. There was no road. Later on, there was a road. But we'd have to go up 10 Mile Creek, then climb up over the Hogback Ridge and down, zigzag down the other side. And I'd ride that horse up, clear up on top of that ridge, moon and come up on the other side. We'd zigzag down the other. What's that got to do with song? Forgive me. I thank you for your good prayers for me too. That baboon eye that I had the other day cleared up nicely, but I was real sick yesterday. I had to work and I was doing some things. I'm in trouble over there. Afternoon I had to go to bed and I was in trouble all night. Still I'm in trouble somewhat, but your prayers will help. I didn't know whether I was going to be here this morning or not, but my wife said, shall I call Donald last night, because I was awfully sick and got a dysentery and ate nothing yesterday till late last night. I drank a cup of milk. I said, no, wait till 7 o'clock in the morning. That's a long time between now and 7 o'clock. God can do a lot of things between now and then. So I got up this morning. I won't say that I felt like coming over or even feel like being here now, but I'm here. And that's one way to beat the devil. You give up to the devil, he'll ride you to death.
Let's pray for us right now.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the brethren. Thank you for your people, O God. Love one another. Pray for one another. Believe God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Glory to God forever. Thank you. Thank you. alone. Called a fuel company the other day to pump out the bottom of my tank. Condensation over the period of years evidently built up to where I was beginning to get water into the furnace. And they came, they said, oh yeah, they could do that. They'd just pump it all out. And so they came over and they weren't equipped or anything, and I had to go down in the basement, get my pipe cutters and everything, and cut the pipe and fit the thing and everything for them. And then they decided they didn't want to pump it out in the truck. They had a hand pump. So they put that hand pump, and it's so high they couldn't reach it, and I had to take the pipe cutter and cut it off to let it down. But still, it was way up here with a lot too much leverage. And a great big old bulky guy there, and he was working on that thing back and forth. And I was scared to death they were going to just... that pipe, you see. And so I was on the other side of his pump, and when he'd pull that way, I'd push against him, and then I'd pull against him to try to help the situation. But they went on, and it helped. They took out some, but they had no way to handle it properly. And then I find out that heaving on that old hand pump there tore the dip pipe loose from the top of the tank, and the tank is 5 foot down and goes down 5 foot further through the tank. Now I'm stuck with the proposition of the water can go right in the top of my tank. I got to dig down 5 feet and dig that out and get that pipe reset on that tank if possible, or else change over to gas or do something else. And right on top of it, I was so sick I couldn't work last night, and all of that. There's one thing right after another. Oh, they can do it. They're trying to make a living. They just thought they could do the thing, and they had no intention, of course, of breaking it loose. I just don't do that. I don't take advantage of any people. Small outfit. If it was a big outfit, I would, see. And now I got another outfit over there yesterday, and they had electric pumped out. And I had put down a half-inch pipe. But the half-inch pipe wasn't quite long enough. We could only get down. It'd still leave the water in the bottom. So I called them and told them that I'd I'll get a piece of pipe and I'll fit it. I'll get it all ready for you. I said, what do you need to hook onto? And they told me they want to hook a hose onto there like a water hose. All right. I'll rig it up and I'll get it all ready and then I'll call you. You come over and pump out about 15, 20 gallons. And so I can put more oil in because we're about out of oil. Clear down to 5 inches now. And the rest of some of it's 2 inches of it's water. And the rest of it's sludge, perhaps, although the water is still all right. So I went down the basement. I tore out a piece of gas pipe long enough. Had it just about done, and here comes this guy. I hadn't called him, but he came over anyway. He got in my way and made me almost cut my pipe too short by that much. By getting in my way, I got hooked onto the wrong spot there. He wanted to measure it, and I'd already measured it and had where I wanted it.
Why don't these companies have their own equipment to do all that? I thought they're supposed to do the business.
You just can't with everything because they're all different, see, and this is... But when we tried, I said, I can't get that half-inch pipe back down in there. My half-inch pipe isn't long enough anyway. And they didn't have a long enough pipe. No, they didn't have one long enough. All right, I said, I'll take care of it. I'll get a 3/8 inch pipe out of my basement. It's a gas pipe. And we'll put that down in there and pump it out through that. It'll go down. But when he took it out to put it down, it wouldn't go down. And I said, that's funny. It has to go down. The half-inch pipe went in. So a 3/8 ought to go in. Went out? No, wouldn't go down. Well, took the half-inch pipe, and by maneuvering just a little bit, well, the half-inch pipe went clear down. Okay, now we'll put the other one in. Get it? No, it wouldn't go down. I said, how in the world can a half-inch pipe go down? The other is about an inch and a quarter pipe, and but the joints in it won't let it go through the joints where it hooks onto the tank and right at the top also. And then when I came to the conclusion, well, now I know what happened. When they were doing all that long leverage on that thing, they just tore that loose from the top of the tank, and it's moving over in the way so it can't go down into the tank. But the other one, it kind of seemed to adjust things enough so that it pushed it over and got it down, but the little one won't. I couldn't figure out how a smaller pipe won't go through and a bigger pipe did. But we're still stuck with that proposition, and we have a longer pipe. He said he'd see if he could get a longer half-inch pipe, maybe we could still get down in there. Well, that's where we are right now. I'm out of oil and can't get the pipe down there that we need. He hasn't been able to find a long way. You have to go buy a new one. It costs you about $5 just to get that long piece of pipe. And that's when I had to quit. I was sick anyway. I should have been in bed anyway, but then I was getting worse and worse. I finally gave up. I thought maybe I could still get that pipe in there and give him a call and have him come back over. If I can get that down, I'll have him come right back over and pump that out, and then we'll be ready to go on from there. But I couldn't do it. I had to go to bed. You go to these hardware stores. Brother, I got more in my basement than most of these hardware stores have got. That's what I did. He didn't have any couplings. He didn't have anything at all. I said, well, maybe I can find it here. I got out two boxes of couplings and pipes and joints and so on and rigged it up. I had it all there, see. I go myself, and they haven't got, no, I haven't got to run all over the crazy town miles apart trying to find something. They haven't got anything. The only thing they can do is put you in a new furnace. Whole outfit. They want to sell you the whole outfit. You can't get parts anymore. Can't get parts from a furnace anymore. No? All we can do is put you in. What you need is a new furnace. You need a new burner. You need everything new, and there's nothing the matter with the burners there. All you need is the parts I used to get. They don't even make them that way anymore. They don't even make them that way. We don't sell parts. We just sell the whole piece. They manufacture them all in one piece. You take it out and throw it away. It only costs you $30-$40 for it anyway. Who's got $30 or $40 when you're retired on nothing? And if you didn't, it's the wrong thing to do. Well, that isn't Psalms either. Where are we? Can't hear it. I didn't hear that either. <clears throat> 131. Did I finish that?
No.
Got to it. All right. Lord, my heart is not haughty. How many can say amen? Be sure now. My heart is not haughty, but if God begins to use you, you might get haughty. I mean, if he begins to really use you and give you something and you really begin to learn something, you might get haughty. So watch. It's made a lot of preachers haughty that were very humble when they started. If Billy Graham hadn't been so successful all of a sudden with one particular scoundrel, he would probably have got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and gone on with the rest of us, but he got haughty all of a sudden. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Watch those things, because they can ruin you. Don't go beyond. Don't run ahead of the Lord. Don't try to go up and take the country when God, when you've already refused to take it and said we can't do it, and then God was angry with you and you say, well, I'll go up and do it. God said, no, you can't go up and do it. But they tried to go up and do it anyway. A lot of preachers try to go ahead and do it anyway. God wants to lead you through the wilderness for a while. You better go through the wilderness for a while instead of going up, because you'll only get clobbered anyway. These are things that we need to learn. They're not always easy to discern what he's talking about, but that's it. And that's exactly the way it does happen. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. Now, there was a time you just kick and squirm and slap and pull hair and everything else, but eventually you get so that you just behave yourself. You get slapped enough times or taught enough times and found out it didn't pay, well, eventually you get to be as a child weaned of its mother. Kind of hard to wean a child sometimes. He wants to go right on like he's been going on. I remember Carolyn, and I shouldn't say this perhaps on her, but that poor little child, she was sure stuck to that bottle. Oh, my baba. She had a fit. Surely I have behaved in quite a... Surely I behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. You've learned to obey. You've learned to not fight back. You've learned to not kick and squall when God wants you to do something. You learn not to resist the word of God when he tells you something. Believe it. And do it because he said so, because you love him, because he loves you, and he's going to continue to love you only if you're an obedient child and walk on with him. Otherwise he'll chastise you. Even though he still loves you, he'll chastise you. Let Israel hope in the Lord, because Israel was as an unweaned child for quite a while. It took quite a while to wean Israel, you know. They had to be cast off, clear out of their country, let their temple be destroyed, put on among the heathen, let the most horrible things come to them before they could be weaned. But God surely weaned them of idols. They never had another one. They've never had another one. But oh, it was hard. It was difficult. Let Israel hope in the Lord, and henceforth forever. Israel shall say unto me, I think it's in Hosea, about the 14th chapter. See if I can find it there for you.
Also, with the child being weaned, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4.
Read it.
Could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I offend you with milk and not with meat.
It goes on to say, you were not able. You should have been getting some meat, but you are not able. I have many things to say to you now, but you're not able to receive them. I've had a lot of things that I'd like to have talked to people, but I knew they couldn't receive it, couldn't give it to them. Have to just keep talking milk to them. Keep trying to get them to do the first things right. Can't even get them baptized in Jesus' name. How are you going to get them to do the other things? And that's as plain as a nose on your face. Blind man can see that with his cane. And I proved it one time by taking an old man about 70 years old that was blind and carried a cane. And I talked to him and about water baptism in Jesus' name. And I said, now go back to your Presbyterian church. Episcopalian or something. I said, go back and talk to them. Tell them to show you exactly how they baptized in the New Testament back the early apostles. And if they can find any other way that they ever baptized except in the name of Jesus, then you come back and let me talk to you for a minute, and then you do as you want it. And he came back, and he saw him. He had him read it. I said, now don't let him just tell you. You make him read it. You make him read it. Show you where it says that they baptized any other way than in the name of Jesus. Not just told to be or anything. Show you where they did. And if they say, well, they do it this way, I said, tell them, ask them what name they used, what the name of the Father is. Well, he came back and he said, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And he told me all that he'd been through. And so he came down. He used to come to our service. He'd always sit right down in front. And when we'd begin to speak about the blessings of the Lord, he'd raise both hands and said, me too, me too, me too. He died within about a year and a half of that time. But I took him down to Snake River and baptized him in Jesus' name. Now, if a blind man can see it, how much more people with eyes? Where do you find that in Psalms? All right. Hosea 14:8. In fact... Let me read you that portion, the 14th verse, will you? O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. This was before they ever went away. They hadn't gone away yet. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. You see, that's the free will offerings of your lip. Asher, the Assyrians shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses and save ourselves. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, idols, you are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. No, we won't say that to idols anymore. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. But God had told him in the first of Hosea, I will love you no more. I'll love you no more. You are not my people, and I will not be your God. But the end of it is, with the prophecy, when it's all over with, and Israel comes back and says, Lord, receive us back again, graciously, and we'll give thee the praise. We won't pray to idols any longer. Then he says, I will heal their backsliding. This now becomes a prophecy. Well, in fact, it's all prophecy because they haven't even been carried away yet. It even prophesied about their being cast off, and then they're brought back. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And I will be as the dew unto Israel. See, that's the blessings of the Lord coming down, the latter rain and so on. He shall grow as the lily. That's speaking of the bride. He'll be as the bride. And cast forth his roots as Lebanon, that great forest of Lebanon, where they got the greatest of the trees to build the temple. His branches shall spread, his beauty in the day when I bring them back shall be as the olive tree. This will really be Israel. And his smell as Lebanon. They shall dwell under his shadow, they that dwell under his shadow. Because he is the shadow of a rock and a weary land, they shall revive as the corn after a drought when the rain comes down. Revive. And grain as and grow as the vine, that true vine that God planted that brought forth sour grapes. Now it'll grow as the true vine and bring forth ripe grapes. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon, that spirit of God. With the blessings of God. And Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him. I have observed him. I am like a green fir tree. I'm not a dried up tree now anymore. From me is thy fruit found. Now my fruits are fruits of the Lord, the fruits of the Spirit. From me, from thee, from me is thy fruit found. See? God is telling them that their fruit would be his fruit, not what they've been having. Who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. All right, back to the psalm then. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth forever. After Israel's weaned, comes back to the Lord. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyelids, or slumber to sleep to mine eyes, or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Now, in the New Testament, it tells us that we are God's habitation, built up for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, David, in this prayer, in this psalm, it's a prophecy of David also concerning the church. He is praying for all Israel. He's praying for Israel, and also not only David, but the greater David in particular. Jesus went out in the mountains. He did not, prevented the night season watches, the night watches. And he went out very early in the morning, prayed all night sometimes out there for the people until he found a place for God and himself made a temple for God. Now all those who are in him are in God's temple, and they also bring forth fruit of righteousness, even as the Lord Jesus Christ, putting on righteousness even as he did. Until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Now, you know the verses. The one in Psalm. Does anyone have it there? David? I will not go up to my tabernacle of my house, give sleep to my eyelids. I don't have it here either, and I haven't had time to put it there. Somebody should have it. All right. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Now, speaking, when God comes into your life and you become his temple, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and that God dwells in you? Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. Micah 5:1-4. Also verse 17 of this same verse. There will I make the horn of David to bud. Jesus is that one. According to Hebrew, the word is a bud. See? Aaron's rod, blossom. The Hebrew word is more particularly perhaps bud. Bud, what it brings forth. His name, he whose name is the branch. Rotherham says his name is Bud. But I don't like that word, Bud. It doesn't sound as good as the other one. I'd rather call him the branch, because he calls him the branch other places also, and Bud doesn't sound right. We have too many other people called Bud. We don't have so many branches. So I prefer branches. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. That ark of his strength, that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he's the forerunner of all these things. He's the first of the first fruits of God. He's the first and the greatest of the sons of God. He's the captain of our salvation, pointed us away, made the way, and entered into it ahead of us, so that we could have full assurance that we will follow. Where I go, you can't come now, but you shall follow me hereafter. But we can be in God, even as he is in God. I in you, you in me. Now, he tells us, Psalm, I should know where it is, and I don't know whether my head will give it to me now or not. It seems to me it's about Psalm 78 or someplace like that. Which one was it? Where I will enter into my rest. This is my rest. I have desired it. I will... Pardon? Of this one? Let me look and see. That's what I'm looking for. This is my... Yes. The Lord hath chosen Zion. Zion is his people. The Lord has chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Now you see, I didn't even look at my lesson. I couldn't. I was so sick, I couldn't even look at it. So I didn't even know that that was right here. I couldn't remember where it was. Pardon? All right, we'll get just a minute and we'll get to them. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness. I had another one or two in my mind just a minute ago, but it's gone now, so I'll wait. Maybe I'll get them back again. Let thy priests... Pardon? I've got that right here. I was just going to give it to you. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. Is that the one? 9? I have 1 Peter 2:9 there also. I do have a few in here that I've written in, but I just started using this book, so there won't be many. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Now, David the king, God did not dare turn his face away from David. He did not dare to fail the promise he gave to David, because if he did, there would never have been a greater David. See the connection there? David prayed that his promise, even to David the king, should not fail, because if there was, then there would be no Christ. There would be no salvation. Lord, hath for thy servant David's sake, literally David, but more particularly because of the Christ. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne, and his kingdom and his house shall be forever. And that, of course, is the covenant that God made with David back in Samuel, 2 Samuel, I guess, 7:12. Thank you. I'm glad I'm getting some help. All right? I don't have it here myself. That's with verse 11. Luke 169. Thank you. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony. Now, when God says if, that puts all the responsibility upon you. All the responsibility upon you. He had declared and sworn by himself that he'll do what he said. When he says if, that puts all the responsibility upon you and me. That's our problem, not his. And you can't blame him if you stand in the last judgment and cannot be set free. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. Now, that means that they will be with him in his kingdom of glory forevermore. But that forevermore, even unto the end of the ages. The end of the ages ceases at the end of the great thousand-year reign. Time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. See? So the end of the ages there would only have to reach the end of millennium. And that's all he's ever promised, that his children should sit upon thrones also with him. After that, there is no such thing as other men reigning, or even angels or sons of God. Sons shall deliver up the kingdom unto the Father, that God may be all in all. He doesn't have to rule and reign over his people. They're his own children. They're just like him. He doesn't need to. They just do his good will, because they have the same spirit. They're just like you. See what I mean? Jesus didn't have any real problems of doing what God wanted him to do. He just had a few small child problems, in order that he might relate himself with your problems and mine as a man. He did undergo certain things and learned obedience by the things which he suffered in the flesh. See, he had to do that also. He was under the law. He kept the law, but he had to learn obedience. And having suffered in the flesh, he also is able to succor or support and strengthen those who are tempted. Being tempted. He was tempted. And undoubtedly he suffered even the matter of sickness, because it says that he was tempted in all, tried in all points like as we are. So, being in the flesh, it said he was hungry. didn't it? He said he thirsted finally, but how about in the wilderness? He had neither bread nor drink in the wilderness. As far as we know, he had neither. And he was tempted of the devil more than you and I are, 40 days straight and nights. The Lord hath chosen Zion and desired it for his own habitation. God shall inhabit his people. The praises of he inhabits his praises of his people, but he also inhabits his people. The tabernacle of God shall be with men, and he shall dwell among them. I will walk in them, I will dwell in them, they shall be my sons and my daughters. And then when he comes again, it says he has spread his tent and tabernacle over them. They'll be his tent. They'll be his tabernacle. Or he will be their tent and tabernacle. They will be his people. And he will dwell in the midst of his people in the tabernacle like he dwelt in the tent and tabernacle back there. In his people. In his people. Like he dwelt between the cherubim. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. That they, Lord, may be in as thou, Lord, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Just one in us. See? And so it will be. We'll be like him. We'll be with him. We'll be glorified. We'll be in his glory. We'll be a partaker of his glory. We'll inherit all things. We will be in him. He will be in us. It's a wonderful thing to just know that you're in God, and God's Spirit is in you, that God dwells in you, and Christ dwells in you, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You're God's temple. It's a wonderful thing to know that, realize that. But you know, one of these days is going to be more absolutely real than it is now. We'll have a better temple. Not a fleshly temple. Not a corrupted temple. This corruption will have put on incorruption, and God will dwell with us in an incorrupted temple. See? It'll be so much better. So much better. Wonderful. I will abundantly bless her provision, that is Zion, which is above, which is the mother of us all. Represents us all. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also, and that means from the very first coming into God, any time that they come into God and let God dwell in them and walk in them, he begins to do this. When they come into Christ, it's more abundantly. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life more abundantly. Already they had an abundant life in Christ and in God. If they would walk in it, because they did back there. And God blessed them, and they felt the power of it, and they prayed his wonderful name. They rejoiced. They were beside themselves sometimes with joy. Hygeion. They just couldn't contain themselves sometimes. The blessing of the Lord and the unction of God within the prophets. As a bottle ready to burst.
Corinthians 3:16.
Can you tell it to us?
I've got four, but I don't have
them. Okay.
It's all talking about the rest and self-dwelling in Zion.
Okay, I thought if you had it there, why it helped.
Hebrews 12:22.
Hebrews?
Yes, 12:22.
12:22.
And Hebrews 4:8. And Matthew 12:28.
Hebrews 12:22 and the other one.
Hebrews 4:8 and Matthew 12:28-29.
Alright. Another one for the same verse. And give it to me again.
John 14:17.
Thank you.
2 Chronicles 6:41.
John 14:13. And that was which?
2 Chronicles 6:41.
2 Chronicles 6:31.
41.
Isaiah
18:4.
Okay.
You want to find room for all these? Now, that's what I mean. Now, I like to see that. Because if every one of you get one, each one of you will possibly get some different one. Then when you got them all that and you can put them in your notes, then put them all together, then you'll really have something. Now, if you'll help in this matter, I haven't got time to get all of these, and I wouldn't have time to write them all down here. And I just can't write up a whole page of notes with all of these on to take too long. I don't even have time to do what I'm doing. And if all of you will help and then share with one another here, just quickly like that, and put them in your notes. You can't get them all in your Bible. You may not even want them all in your Bible. Once in a while, there'll be one that maybe you've got better ones. So you put the best of them in your Bible that relate to this very thing. The other one may touch it in some respect, but maybe not as good. So out of those several that you get, you may get a half a dozen, and out of the half a dozen, three of them perhaps should go right in your Bible, and you'd probably have room for that. You wouldn't have room for all, but those three are better. Put those in your Bible, but have the other in your notes, because they're profitable also, because they approach it in some other way. So it's all good. That was Matthew 11, 28,
29.
All right. All right, let's go ahead then. I will abundantly bless her. Now, if you'll start, all of you, doing a little more of this, read your lesson ahead of time and look up some of these and put you down some of your own, especially in your notes. And then, after you get the rest of them from the class, put them in your notes. After you get the rest of them, if they're real good and you know they're good, put them in your Bible, that's all right. But if you get several, hold it off, put them in your notes. When you come, give them to the class. We put them in our notes. Then we will choose out of those the ones that we can crowd into our Bible. Then you'll really have a Bible that you can go to and get something. When you get there, you'll have the right thing. You won't have something else that's taken off on another tangent, see? Because a lot of times your margins here, or in the back even, will take you, it may use the same word, or it may have something to do with it in an entirely different manner than here, and you just can't clutter your Bible up too much. You haven't got room for all of that here. You'll get that someplace else. Then pick out the right ones and put them in that. Then you'll have a Bible that you can look at anytime, turn back to it, and you'll know that you can look those others up and have what you need without going through a great long search again. Are you following me? You see, that's what I was doing in my older Bible and in my other notes. I was doing that, and I was trying to give you some of those. It got the place it was too much for me, and I wasn't always giving them to you, and I'm not now. So you're having to supply most of them here because I didn't have this marked at all. Brand new Bible is just a blank page. Might have one or two. I just can't do it. I'm sorry about it, but I can't.
Verse 12, you could put Psalm 89, 27, 37.
Is that Ephesians 2?
Yeah, 21 and 22. And then Zephaniah 3:17.
Okay. Now if we had lots of time, we'd read more of those and put them together for you, but we don't have that time. I mean, we've got to get through the Psalm in another next 2 or 3 weeks or one month or something like that. We got to get through all the Psalms, see, so we can't help it. We could learn so much more if we had lots of time. So we could just go and get these and talk about them and study. But they'd lead you from here to there, to here to there. We'd be all over the book. Sure, it'd be wonderful if we had time to do it. See, but you can't do it. So we've got to just get along with what we have. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will clothe the priest with salvation. Now his priests back there were not always clothed with salvation. They became corrupt, and he had to cast them off also. We've got priests up here today that are not clothed with salvation, but God promised he would give them ministers and priests after his own heart. And God has done it ever since Jesus came and poured out His Spirit upon them. We have had ministers after God's own heart. Not all of them, but we've had some. They've always been preaching the Word faithfully and bringing us to the knowledge of the truth. I will clothe the priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Well, I don't think you should be. I think that's fanaticism. But God said you would anyway.
2 Chronicles 6:41.
Yes, and you can go into the New Testament and hear them, listen to them doing it. All right, there will I make the horn of David to bud. In that time when there shall come a bud and a branch out of the root of David, that's the Christ. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. Now, that I've ordained a lamp for mine anointed. Christ is the lamp for David and his seed. That's the first one. That's the first thing. For his anointed David, I've ordained a lamp. So he gave him, when Judah was separated, when the house of David, when the kingdom was taken away from the house of David, God gave him Benjamin to be with him, that he should have a light in Jerusalem always. And it was those people, along with those of Ephraim and Manasseh and certain other ones of, that came in there, that received the Lord Jesus graciously, where the whole nation of Judah practically, almost, not all, but almost, rejected him and said, "We'll not have this man to reign over." But he left him a light in the land. And that was those who wanted to serve God, and they fled out of Ephraim, went down into Judah, and became Jews with Judah. And Benjamin was one of his beloved, and he had a good place in God. And it was Saul of Tarsus, who became our great apostle Paul, was one of those of little Benjamin who had a good place with God. Little Benjamin was given to him for a light in Jerusalem. So we have here that, first of all, that. Then it's this. God not only that, but he also gave a lamp for mine anointed. Jesus was the anointed Messiah. But he had a lamp that went right before him. John was a great, bright, and shining lamp. The New Testament says light, but the Hebrew, the Greek says lamp. He was a great and shining lamp. He went before the Lord to prepare his way. He first preached Christ. He first preached the kingdom of heaven. He first preached repentance, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Even as Jesus did. So it fits both of those places. With Revelation 21:23, because we find out that the Lamb is the lamp thereof, of that new Jerusalem. The Lamb is the lamp thereof. It says the light thereof, but the Greek again is lamp. And it's God shining out through him that makes the light. God is the light. But Jesus is the light also, because Jesus is God. Jesus on the earth said, "I am the light of the world. While I'm with you, while I'm with you, I'm the light of the world." But when he left, he said, "Now you are the light of the world." See? While he was with us, he was the light of the world. Now he dwells in us, and we are the light of the world. And when it comes to the light of the world up there, the Lamb is the light. And God, who is the first light, the great light, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And that was the light that Jesus had. That's the reason he was the light, is because God was in him. Jesus becomes the lamp. He's the one we see, but the light shines out through him. We'll see him. We'll know he's the same Jesus, but God shines through him. We see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ even now when we look through the veil. So Revelation 21:23 with John 8:12. His enemies will I clothe with righteousness. Pardon me. His enemy will I clothe with shame, but upon himself will his crown flourish. Upon whose self? The Messiah. The Messiah. The seed that he said he would put upon the throne. Verse 11. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne, and his enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish, and his kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom which shall never pass away, and his dominion that which never passes away, because he's God. He's not the son that delivers up the kingdom. He's only the head of that son which delivers up the kingdom. And the head is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. But the head of the church, the head of the man, and the head of the church is Christ. On him shall his crown flourish forever. You'll read that in Daniel 7 also. All right, we can probably grab one more there if it isn't too good. Behold how good, it is good, and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And you just don't know how good it is until you try it. We talk about it, we read about it, they preach about it, but they won't do it. In most churches, most assemblies, they preach how good it is, but they've never even tried it, most of them. In the small measure in which we do it, we do find it's good and pleasant. But that's not just for too few people, that's for the whole church, if we would do it. That's for all the churches, because they're all one church, if they would do it. If all the churches would be together in unity. Well, the world church says that's what we're trying to get you to do. Yeah, but you mean unity with you and your ungodliness. You won't take the word of God. You won't go by God's way. You don't even believe in God. You don't even believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you don't even believe in God. You got your own God imagination. No, we can't go along with that. We can't have fellowship with that. They do not believe these things. We cannot have fellowship with the unbeliever. Looks like we're not going to make it. It's like the precious ointment. If you would do it, it's like the precious ointment on the head that ran down on the beard, even on Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. It's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that just goes all over you, clear to your feet. Starts top of your head and just runs down over you. I prayed, one time I remember I prayed, and oh, the blessing of the Lord was upon me, and I just was glorifying God, and all of a sudden I could just feel the oil dripping off of all my fingertips. Now, there really wasn't oil, but as far as I was concerned, just I could just feel the oil dripping off my, just dripping, 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 and the blessing of it just magnified by the fact that I felt it. See, that's just a personal experience I had. You may never have that. I never heard of anybody having it, but I did have it. And, brother, it was wonderful.
Brother, that's what that actually happened in the spiritual realm, and all of a sudden you were just entering into what God was actually really doing.
All right. I know that spiritual oil was full and overflowing. I do know that. Thank you.